good to be here with all of you to celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord. Not very long ago, I was asked by a man who goes to Mass every Sunday, why do we celebrate and worship Jesus when he's the King of the Jews? We're not Jewish. And I have to admit, I was a little bit surprised by this question. Maybe many of you were able to go to Catholic schools or just have studied the faith long enough to know how to answer this, but there aren't any Catholic schools in Greenwood County, where I'm from, and to be honest, I'm not sure I could have answered this until I was already in the seminary. And so thank God that on Epiphany, we celebrate that Jesus is the Savior of not only Israel, but of the Gentiles as well. The Bible uses the word Gentile to refer to anybody who's not from the nation of Israel. And while Jesus was born of a Jewish family, and he's the long-awaited Messiah and King of Israel, it's at the center of the gospel message that Jesus came not only for the Jews, but for the entire world. And we see this especially in the book of Acts, when God tells Peter to go and preach the gospel in the household of Cornelius, who was a Roman soldier, even though at this time Jews weren't even supposed to associate with Gentiles. But after many of them accepted the gospel and converted, Acts 10:45 says, "The believers from among the Jews who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles." And we continue to see this theme throughout the letters of Paul as well. In our second reading today to the Ephesians, Paul writes, "The Gentiles are members of the same body and co-heirs of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." These were the last people that the apostles expected to have to evangelize and bring into the church. And reading this, we might think that this was just a new idea found only in the New Testament. But even in the Old Testament, we see hints of God letting Israel know that soon he'll be including everyone else into his chosen people. For example, in the book of Jonah, God sends the Jewish prophet Jonah to preach to the Gentile nation of Nineveh. And the book of Isaiah says that Israel will be a light to the Gentiles. Our first reading today says that all nations will gather there bringing gold and frankincense for the Lord. Of course, we see all this fulfilled at the Nativity. Epiphany means manifestation, and today we celebrate the Lord manifesting himself to these foreign Gentile magi who came to worship him. Many biblical scholars believe these magi or wise men were astrologers from Persia, and so I plugged it into Google Maps, and Persia to Bethlehem is 1,665 miles. It says it would take 22 days to walk, so maybe several days less on camels. There wasn't a travel by camel option on Google Maps. But here in just the second chapter of the New Testament, we see the fulfillment of our responsorial psalm, that not only those from Israel, but people from every nation on earth will adore the Lord. Now, there might be some families here who are of Jewish descent, but I have a feeling there'd be a lot less of us if Jesus only came for the Jews. So on Epiphany, it's a good day to reflect and be grateful that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been offered to every single one of us. One of the first conditions to receive the gospel in a life-changing way is we must recognize ourselves to be in need of salvation. And so as we celebrate the manifestation of our Savior, I ask you, what do you still need saved from? What areas of darkness in our life desperately need the light of Jesus Christ? All of us have spiritual wounds and experiences of living in a world influenced and dominated by sin. Maybe there's a memory or experience from our past that something we did or something done to us that even the thought of makes us feel embarrassed or ashamed. Maybe we struggle with the same sins over and over again, and we feel like we'll never be set free or that we'll never be good enough. Maybe we're absolutely miserable because of family problems or some sort of financial or health problems. It's okay to feel miserable. Jesus often makes us aware of our own misery before he shows us his mercy. His merciful love is for the miserable. And we can be like these magi and like Mary and Joseph at the Nativity, adoring the God of the universe who humbled himself so low that he left his place in heaven and became a tiny baby in Bethlehem. And that same Christ child who was born of Mary 2,000 years ago lowers himself even further and manifests himself to us under the appearance of bread and wine. We can find him here at Mass and in Eucharistic adoration. We can surrender these dark and enslaving areas of our life to him. Jesus wants to speak into our fears and remind us that our true worth and our identity is found in being sons and daughters of the Father with him. And all these feelings of anxiety and insufficiency can be rejected and renounced in the name of Jesus through the power of his body and blood in the Eucharist. As you receive him in Holy Communion today, pray, Jesus, reveal yourself to me in a way that you've never done before. And through the power of your merciful love, save me from whatever holds me back from following you as your disciple.